Hey, very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America on a Friday, July 8th, 2016. And this is Live Talk. I'm Blessing Zulu.
And I'm Kip Stube.
And tonight on Studio 7 Live Talk, we are talking about the police crackdown after the nationwide shutdown on Wednesday.
To join the discussion, phone us directly at this number, 001-202-619-2077.
And as usual, Live Talk goes out to Zimbabwe on our 909 medium wave frequency and on the 4930-11605 and 15775 kHz shortwave, Monday through Friday at 8:30 p.m.
On the internet, you can find us at www.voazimbabwe.com, www.voashona.com, and www.voindebele.com.
This government will ignore the citizens at their own peril. And people have said, well, this is not going to have any impact. This is a government that doesn't respect things like that. The one thing that you have to understand that this is doing is that it is uniting the citizens. It's bringing the citizens into one unit. For the first time in a very long time, we're doing something together.
Saka ndataridza kutobatikana zvakanyanya nokuti pamabasa edu emaoko ayaya ndikangorusa dhora zvese zvinhu zvatoenda mudondo saka inini handisi kutombozvifarira ende zviri kutishuvisa pakuti pakuitika kwazviri kuita vamwe vanhu tonzwa kuti vari kurohwa vachikuvara mota dziri kuparara saka hazvitifadzi
saka inini ndinoti hangu kana zvichiitwa murunyararo zvinofanira kuenderera mberi.
Once again, thanks for joining us, and you are listening to Studio 7 Live Talk. And tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about the ongoing police crackdown on protesters.
According to the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, more than 300 people have been arrested. But the human rights lawyers say their intervention has started to yield results after court officials on Thursday and today released some juveniles and residents who were arrested during a countrywide work boycott on Wednesday.
President Robert Mugabe had the perfect opportunity to respond to this nationwide shutdown when he addressed thousands of his supporters later this evening in the Mashonaland Central Province of Bindura. He was in Bindura Chipadze Stadium. But Mr. Mugabe skated the issue and talked about other problems that are affecting the country, such as the issue that the government is struggling to pay civil servants on time simply because it is no money. And of course, we want to talk about the legality of these demonstrations. Gibbs,
what are your views on this issue? If you wish to join the show right now, phone us directly at this number, 001-202-619-2077. Njalo lokuthi sizwa kuthiwa iZimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights iyenelisile ukuthi ke ithatha abanye abantu kuna ngale emthethwandaba ibakhululise ngoba kade sungani kuyahlupha kakhulu abaningi kade bevalelwe kukhanya ngazani ngabantwana. So sifuna ukuzwa ngani ukuthi likubona njani khona ngapho ngenani sizwe kuhlelo kathesi.
Onguka hamawadiwa nasi tilauti tinge tichitarisa nezwe kuratidzira kwakaita vanhu munyika nemusi wechitatu uye mashoko atirikunzwa kuti vanhu vanodarika mazana matatu 300 vasungwa nemapurisa vamwe vacho kutanga nezuro nanhasi vakwanisaiwo kuti vange vachipiwa mari dzechibatiso asi mapurisa ari kutiwo ari kutsvaga vamwe vamwewo vakatungamira kuratidzira uku vari kuti mamagweta anga achiti vanga vachiti varida kubvunzurudza vapastor Ivan Mawarire navapromisa Mukwananzi vanova mutauriri weTajamuka. Gibbs, for the first few minutes, 3 or 5 minutes, we have one of the lawyers, a member lawyer of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, that is Mr. Jeremiah Bamu, who is representing some of the protesters. Mr. Bamu, good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
We are doing great and thanks for joining us. Gibbs, you can fire away.
So give us an overview of exactly how many people were actually arrested during the protests. Let's say in Harare where you are and how those cases were handled in court?
People were arrested at different times. Firstly, on Monday, there were 51 who were arrested from the Mabukurua area, and then additional 54 were arrested from Epworth. And on with respect to those who were arrested in Mabuku and April, there is a team of four lawyers that have been assisting them. Actually, we came to about six. There is Mr. Obeishava, who has been speaking on behalf of the legal team, Mr. Trust Maanda, who has been leading the legal team in court, then myself, Mr. Gift Mutisi. But we also had Mr. Matapura and Mr. Chabuka and Mr. Arnold Taruvinga, who has been representing one or two of the other accused persons. With respect to those arrested from Mabuku, Tafara Rua, and Epworth, they were granted bail in the sum of $100 each. And then there's an additional 14, as I understand, who were arrested from Marimba, Mfakose area. Those are being assisted by Mr. Kadzere of Kadzere Ungwen Mandevere, as far as I understand. And then today there is an additional 11 that I attended to. They were arrested from Epworth between yesterday and today. Those will be appearing in court tomorrow morning. I am also advised that the police were required to interview Pastor Ivan Mawarire, Promise Mukwananzi, and another person, but I am not the legal practitioner for those two, and I advise the police accordingly that I do not know anything in connection with those two because I am not the appointed legal representative, and I could not assist them or comment on their issue. So they are dealing with them separately.
Now, Mr. Bamu, there were reports that some of the protesters were allegedly beaten by the police. And what is the situation like? I mean, at least for those that you are representing, do they have any complaints against the police?
For those that I'm specifically representing who are yet to appear in court, I will only be at liberty to divulge the details after court tomorrow, but some complaints have been raised. But with respect to the ones that appeared in court and were granted bail, there were quite a number of complaints about assaults from the police, and some who complained that police dogs were let loose on them. One of them actually got to a point where he got immobilized and could not even walk, and they had to be assisted in and out of the court. And the court actually had occasion to view that accused person for itself.
So now we're told that some of the people that were arrested were actually juveniles. How do courts deal with such cases?
Four of the people who were arrested from Epworth were below the age of 18. And in terms of Section 81 of the Constitution, their detention ought to have been a matter of last resort. We raised that complaint with the court and requested the court to order their immediate release on the date of their first appearance in court. The court reserved its ruling and only made that ruling today. So they were released unconditionally today, but they are still part of the proceedings that are continuing against them.
Now, Mr. Bamu, tell us about the charges that the prosecutors are preferring against the protesters. What exactly?
They have been charged with the offense of public violence as defined in the Criminal Law and Codification Reform Act. Unfortunately, I cannot divulge the details since the matter is still pending in court.
Was that the only we're reading also like public nuisance and stuff like that? The charges are varying.
With those that have appeared in... I cannot tell for the other protesters, but for those in whose case I am engaged, only one charge has been preferred, and that's public violence. This relates to the 51 from Mabuku, the 54 from Epworth, and the additional 11 who are set to appear in court tomorrow. They have similarly been charged with public violence. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the others who were arrested, who are being represented by different lawyers, might have been charged with that offense. I am not so sure of that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Gibbs can pose the last question before we invite other panelists. Gibbs.
So now, Mr. Pamu, if somebody is facing charges of public violence, what's the penalty there?
There is a maximum of 10 years in jail with the option of a fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm, and the fine is how much?
They define the fines in terms of levels. Unfortunately, I do not have the statute in front of me. Mm-hmm. I can cross-check that later on.
Thank you. Mr. Bamu, thank you so much for giving us the overall picture. And thanks, and do enjoy your weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That there was a member lawyer of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, Mr. Jeremiah Bamu, giving us an overall view of what is happening. And now we are introducing our next guests. First, from Johannesburg, South Africa, we have human rights lawyer Dewa Mavinga of Human Rights Watch. Mr. Mavinga, good evening.
Good evening, Blessing and Gibbs. How are you guys?
We are doing great, man. And thanks for joining us. And I think we also have Mr. Stephen Zhinavakobvu, a lawyer based in Harare. Mr. Zhinavakobvu, good evening.
Good evening, Blessing. Good evening, listeners.
We are doing great, and thanks for joining us. Gibbs, you can fire away.
Right, let's talk to you, Mr. Mavinga. You have been following these events in Zimbabwe. What's your take on people that are being arrested?
Well, what is happening, two things, Gibbs. The first is that for ZANU-PF, it has used the same template that it has had since 1980, a template of arrogance and a deployment of brutal force through the police, a template of ignoring the concerns of the people and choosing to shut them up by force. A template of using or abusing the law, using the form of prosecution as a form of persecution. Mm-hmm. And for the protesters, we see that now this is something unprecedented that has happened, where the ordinary people organically and spontaneously have come up to say there is a national consensus among street vendors, doctors, teachers, and nurses, that enough is enough. If you don't have food on the table, if there is no money in the country, government is not paying salaries, what is there to lose apart from demanding justifiably what belongs to the people, and that they properly and accurately identified the problem, the source of the problem, which is bad governance by the government of President Mugabe. So what we are seeing now is a clash of the titans, which spells out the end game in Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much. Mr. Zhinavakobvu, you can respond to what Mr. Mavinga said.
My take is that the cause of the protest or the demonstration is not one. To me, there are various interests that are being confused and abused by those that are hell-bent on seeing people unrest in Zimbabwe. Firstly, what we saw on Wednesday and Tuesday was basically a stairway that was called for by civil servants who had not yet been paid. But unfortunately, that was hijacked by other elements that have other interests which are at variance with those of the civil servants. And if you look at it, the people that engaged in violence and other forms of uncivilized ways of communicating or airing grievances, you will find that those people really don't have grievances to put across, but they are just people who were sponsored or paid to do what they did.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, Mr. Mavinga, do you agree with what this gentleman is saying? Because at the end of the day, I think things are more complicated than that, right?
Well, of course. I really do not know what Zula Wakobu is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because what hijacking is there, if people have got grievances, different people having grievances, they are all equally and severally entitled to protest and to show their dissatisfaction with the government of the day. This is a constitutionally protected right, Section 59. Mm-hmm. So everyone has that right. The only point where I would agree with him is that the right should be exercised peacefully. So criminal elements of violence should be condemned unreservedly. But the behavior of the government of Zimbabwe of not addressing the root causes, the problems, but choosing to attack innocent civilians, to deploy and unleash, you know, the mighty of the infrastructure of violence of the state, that is unacceptable. And I strongly believe that it will not carry the day. Now you saw that there were pushes by the state to disrupt internet, to block internet and access to WhatsApp. That is a sign of authoritarianism which belongs to the, you know, medieval ages. It does not belong in this century. It does not belong in 2016, and it will not carry the day. It is not a solution.
Mr. Znokobu, if you can come in there and talk about the alleged jamming.
The alleged what?
Jamming by the government,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Firstly, I don't know of any innocent civilian who was attacked by the police or by any state agent. What I know is that, yes, there were violent protests in Beitbridge and part of Harare, but I'm not aware of any innocent civilian who was brutalized by the police. But what I have seen or what I have also perceived is that those criminal elements were forcing other people to take part in the violent demonstrations, to take part in the criminal activities that they were engaging in. But at the end of the day, regardless of how or whatever interest that was there, the manner in which the whole protest was being executed reveals a third force behind those people that were demonstrating. And basically, the conclusion can be that political parties were behind, regime change agents were behind that. But the issue does not end there. The alleged jamming or the alleged interference with network and internet, I just heard of it. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, there is no proof that there was any interference or there was any jamming by the state. It could be that simply because the people responsible for making sure that there is transmission, there is network, we're just not at work. So at the end of the day, you cannot expect President Mugabe and his government to then provide the service that is supposed to be provided by Econet, Telecel, Liquid, Zoho, Tel1, or any other internet service provider. So at the end of the day, let us not be quick to blame the government for what we saw. But in any case, assuming, but without conceding that it happened, the bottom line is that there was need for the state to make sure that there is peace, there is security. And given that people like Ivan Mawarire and Promise Nkwanazi and all those other people who were trying to mobilize violence against the state were using social media and other networks, it was necessary for the government to do that. But in saying that, I'm not speaking on behalf of the government. I'm not making any admission whatsoever. But I'm simply saying that it was necessary. But in any case, I'm not considering that it happened.
Mm-hmm. But of course, we don't have Mr. Pastor Maori and Mr. Mkwananzi to defend themselves. But I think we interviewed them on countless occasions, Mr. Znokobu, and they were saying no to violence. Mr. Mavinga, if you may, want to come in.
Well, I actually wanted to comment and ask you, Blessing, whether Mr. Zinovakovu is representing the state in any way or form, because he appears to be defending and explaining and justifying what might have been done or not done by the state. But on that point, I want to agree with him on one score, that perhaps you know, these demonstrations, Blessing, may have a third, 4th year, and that it might be a political party or a faction that is instigating regime change to topple President Mugabe. And that faction is most likely within ZANU-PF. I believe there are instigators within ZANU-PF who are pushing for this chaos because they want to resolve the succession issue. Because, Blessing, if you look at Statutory Instrument 6-4 of 2016, the ban of imports into the country of basic goods from South Africa and other countries via the border Beitbridge, which caused the initial protest in Beitbridge. That instrument is a poison chalice. It is a deliberate move to provoke street vendors and the people of Zimbabwe. Because if you take away the last thing that they have, which is a basic meal on the table, what do you expect will happen? Blessing, you are in the U.S. You will know that in the U.S., the revolution, the American Revolution, was triggered by taxation, the Boston Tea Party. So this is exactly what is now being recreated in Zimbabwe by more contents within ZANU-PF, I believe. And this is where I want to acknowledge the point by Zinovakovu, that there could be a third force lurking behind within the factional fights in ZANU-PF.
Thank you so much. And for those of you who are just joining us, a good evening, and this is Studio 7 Live Talk. And tonight on Live Talk, we are talking about the alleged crackdown on protesters. According to the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, more than 300 people have been arrested to date. And today, the courts released some of them on bail, and there are other bail hearings tomorrow. And our panelists, we have Mr. Stephen Zinovakovu, is a lawyer based in Harare, and we also have Mr. Dewa Mavinga, a human rights lawyer based in Johannesburg, South Africa. Get.
Yes, ngakathathike umnumzana uRapson Mwali othi ke mbale lapha osongena ku Facebook Blessing. Silomnumzana uzamani nyathi othi esami sixwayiso ngesokuthi abantu bakithi kobulawayo bafanele bananzelele ngoba sivele singogazelibi. Kangela mkowethu kubotshwe abantu abaphezu kwamajumi ayisikhombisa lanhlanu kobulawayo. Kanti ke eHarare inani elibotshiweyo limbalwa. So he's saying, you know, there were so many people that were arrested in Bulawayo compared to other places. You know, he says maybe because some people in that region have got some bad blood with the government.
No, but
so,
I think,
according to him,
that's also very inaccurate. I think actually more people were arrested in Harare. If you look at Mavuke and Epworth alone, they had more than 100. And if you look at the whole of Bulawayo, maybe 85 and 16 in Beitbridge. So that's
so very inaccurate. I hope he's listening there. Yes, this is okay. Umnumzana Rapson Mwale. Baba Mwale, unjani?
Kona njani?
Impile kakhulu. Ungathi namhlanje?
Hayi, kunzi. Kunzima kakhulu kwelakithi, asazi ukuthi manje sizokwenza njani ngoba manje mathina sekuthiwa
iredio yakho i-on kumbe ucitsheni?
Ngikho eredio
ye ungazani ucingo lakho luyabhawunsa. Hayi, qhubeka khona mfowethu.
Yebo. Ngithi kutho ukuthi kunzima manje ngoba uhulumeni bese sivalela ukudla ukuthi kungangeni elizweni. Manje thina sasuka ezweni safuna ukudla ngaphandle. Udlame lolo selusenzakala, abantu yindlala abalambile. Uyazi umuntu uma elambile yikho kwenze izigebengu zazingekho kusasuthwa. Kwaqala ukulanjwa kwaba lezigebengu.
So ke nxa sokubuya lokho kuthiwa yi-import ban, abantu bebengani bazondile sibili. Wena uzwa kuthiwa kumele wenzeni xa uthenga impahla kwela South Africa?
Sizonde kakhulu, kodwa ke sesizomunye njengoba bathi bekulo mhlangano wokuthi kuthiwa buy my Zimbabwe kanjalo. but who say follows. But omunye lawo isikhulu sikahulumeni uthe kona akavalanga abantu abanjengathi esizithengela ukudla kwethu sihamba nakho. Bavale abantu bamashopu ukuthi bengezi ngapha bezothenga ukudla ngapha.
Ye, kungani kunjalo sibili bekhuluma esemtare. So ke wena ngokuzwa kwakho kuqala kwakuthwani kwakuthiwa kumeeting alezani?
Ekuqaleni bekuthiwa sisebenza ama-license, ama-import license. Besingakwazi lokuthi sizowathatha kuphi ngoba thina sisegoli.
Okade bemethekisa khona kumbani?
Bebengasitshelanga lutho, yikho kwayenza kwaba lo dlame e-Bed Bridge ngoba abantu babethi bafuna ukuhamba nokudla kwabo.
Yeah. So ke ungathini ke amazwi akho okugcina khonapho?
Amazwi ami okugcina ngokuthi kona uhulumeni kabhadala abantu, uhulumeni kavumela abantu ukuthi bezithengele ukudla kwabo lapho abakufunayo, noma ufuna ukuthenga e-Britain noma ufuna ukuthenga kuphi. Uthenga ukudla kwakho kungene elizweni, hayi ukuthi ethi abantu benza ama-import license. Yikho kwenze yonke lolo dlame oselube khona. Kodwa lona udlame luhambe kahle ngoba ama-teach ababalisi baholile namanesi baze bathola imali yabo last month. Yikho sikubongelela ngento le ebisenzeka.
Ye, kodwa ngombono wakho ubona zana abantu bayaphila betshengisele futhi njengoba-ke abatholile.
Bazotshengisela ukubotshwa kakutho lutho. Ngoba vele alikho ilizwe lange labuswa kungachithekanga igazi. Yeah.
Kodwa sikukhuthazi phela lokho.
Asikukhuthazi kodwa manje ma kungahlele enye indlela iyona indlela yokugcina khona manje nanku baholile bekuthiwa bazohola mhla ka 14 kodwa bagcine sebeyiholile imali yabo. Yeah. Kusizile.
Hayi ke emwale sibongile kakhulu mnumzana
Ah nami mbongile ukungena ehlelweni. Kodwa ngicela ukuthi lilungise inamba yene WhatsApp ayisasebenzi.
Boy inamba WhatsApp ayisebenzi.
Ya yahluphi inamba yene WhatsApp liyilungise.
Hayi iyalungiswa sibili. Ungani lokho sakani kwaba.
Yeah,
unjalo. Yeah, so that was Mr. Mwale. He was saying that you know, lack of information about this import ban on some basic commodities caused a lot of problems. So the impression that they were having is that you have to have a certain license for you to even carry you know, buy maybe a tin of jam and all other things. But it says right now they are getting information that somebody can buy his own things and, you know, take them across to Zimbabwe. So that confusion, it says, was really causing havoc in South Africa. And was saying that more protests are expected within the next few weeks. So he says if government doesn't address those, then it's going to be in trouble.
Let's go back to Mr. Mavinga. Now, Mr. Mavinga, I think... in terms of protecting domestic industries, there's nothing wrong, right, in the government trying to bar goods coming from South Africa in order to promote the domestic industries so that it can also create employment. What's wrong with that?
Listen, there is everything wrong in trying to force people to effectively punish them to try and buy within the country where the goods are exorbitantly expensive. And the same people who are selling in the country are also importing because there is no industry to talk about. You do not develop an industry through sanctions. These are sanctions on the people of Zimbabwe by the government of Zimbabwe. What you need to have is to find ways of supporting internally in an open way without bringing unreasonable restrictions when you know that the country has collapsed, the economy has collapsed, and there is nothing left for the people to do. Look, Blessing.
Mr. Mavinga, we'll continue with that thought. Please stay on the line. And also, Mr. Zhnabakovu, unfortunately for our radio listeners, it ends here. But the good news is we are streaming live. So go to our Facebook pages, Shona English and Ndebele. This is Blessing Zulu.
And I'm Kip Stube saying stay tuned.